Charlotte, North Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
If you got your Bibles, come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 23. We're going to start at verse number 23, Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 23. And the Bible declares, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you can be seated in the presence of our living God. Amen. And we've talked about this before as we're continuing with our current sermon series. We're talking about deliverance. Where we need God to transition us, take us from one place to another place. A supernatural move, a supernatural shift from one place to another place. And the sermon series prior to this, we talked about the anatomy of bondage. And as we're talking about deliverance, we've been talking about being delivered from a wilderness or a wild mindset. A wilderness mindset. So it has everything to do with your mind. This space that is between our ears. If this space is not right, then it becomes difficult for any other thing to do what it's supposed to do. And so as we're here in the book of Ephesians, this is just one of these scriptures that we're throwing in here. We're going to flip through the scriptures like we gymnastics, all right? It's just one of these preliminary scriptures to help us understand something and what we're talking about. We're talking about the enemy of God. The text that we'll be talking about is we're talking about the enemy of God. And you know what I found now? Because most of us believe that Satan is God's enemy. No, according to scripture, he's your enemy. He's been defeated by the work that Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Bible declares, "Beware the devil, your adversary." Beware the devil, your adversary. Walks around like a lion to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You and I, he's the enemy of us. So then, what is the enemy of God? Paul tells us in the book of Romans, it is the carnal mind. James tells us, it is you being friends with the world. Oh. So we're talking about the enemy of God, and we want to deal with the mindset. Scientifically, they say the space or the place or the distance between the brain and the heart is about 12 to 14 inches. And we've talked about how you can use mind or heart interchangeably throughout the scriptures. So I must be renewed in the spirit of my mind. Scientifically, it has been proven that your literal physical heart has what they call a brain. They call it the heart brain. Scientifically, it has been proven that your heart and your brain are so connected. Case in point. Anything that you actually fear, notice how your heart communicating to your brain in the moment of fear. How did your heart communicate? It beat extremely hard and it was beating fast. And your brain actually began to take note of this, making notes of how your heart was beating or how your heart was actually communicating to the actual brain. So your heart was speaking to the literal brain. So there is something called the heart brain. Or you have all these neurotransmitters and all these different ways, five different ways that the heart actually communicates with the literal brain. So there indeed scientifically has been proven there indeed is something called the heart brain. Well, the heart, the literal heart itself, helps, influences, or makes decisions. So hence, when we were talking about in Hebraic culture, they made decisions with the heart. So they understood something that science is now just catching up to way back when. If I'm going to make a healthy decision, my heart has to be healthy. If I'm going to make a healthy decision, my mind has to be healthy. Because when you think about all the different choices that you're presented with throughout the day, throughout the course of a day, oh God, I need to have a healthy mind and a healthy heart to make a healthy decision. We've talked about a healthy yes and a healthy no. Given my choices throughout the day, sometimes it is going to be given that I must give a healthy yes or a healthy no. I cannot give a healthy yes, nor can I give a healthy no if my soul is not healthy. Because both the mind and the hearts are components of the soul. And if there are wounds or traumas that are in or on the soul, it affects my ability to make a healthy decision. And many of us, though we're Christians, we're not going to be honest about the fact that some of us, we've been hurt. Right in the church, we've been hurt. With some of the people that we call sisters and brothers, we've been hurt. We feel we've been hurt by this God we call Father. We've been hurt. Oh, you're not going to tell the truth. But it's not because God was not God, but it was because I failed to be disciplined. It was because I failed to stand on God's word. It was because I allowed time to mess with my ability to trust God. And I'm hurt. Many days, my wounds were self-inflicted. Me, the Christian, me, the believer. But yet I was inflicting wound and pain and hurts upon myself. I didn't like what he told me to do. So maybe if he see that I was hurt, then he'll let me slide. He'll let that instruction bypass me because I'm hurt. But if you know anything about God, God will actually heal you so you can get up and do exactly what he said. Y'all not going to talk, but I'm going to talk. No, I will heal you just to pull the excuse out of your mouth. I've got to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. My mind and my heart must go through a spiritual renovation. God, tearing down some things. It's typical. Messy, but necessary. Messy, but necessary. And see, it's that behind the scenes stuff where God sees the mildew and the mold and the fungus and the sagging cellars of your mind, the roofs of your mind. And he sees these walls are caving in and the foundation of your belief system. It has cracks all in it. Behind the scenes, he's working. Trying to fix you and fix me behind the scenes. Oh, I thank God that he's working on me and working in me at the same time. I don't mean much to people nowadays that God is working on me and working in me at the same time. That's why some days I just say, do it, God. Do it, God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Sometimes, you know, when people abruptly leave houses and different things, for whatever reason, sometimes they leave furniture. Sometimes they leave upholstery up. And sometimes God has to come in and tear down, rip off some of the old wallpaper, tear down some of the old cruddy drapes that have been left up. Veils that we're hiding behind and hiding things behind. And he tears it down just to see how much natural light is about to come in. How much of my truth is about to shine in this place? And he's determining whether or not he's about to enlarge this picture window. Oh, God, change the blueprints if you got to change the blueprints. If you want to add an addition on, God, change the blueprints, God. Being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Drop down to verse number 27, and the Bible says what? Paul says, neither give place to the devil. And what Paul is talking about, this life, putting off the old man and putting on the new, living this new life in Christ Jesus. And he talks about neither giving place to the devil. When we talk about place, place is defined in the Greek as any portion of space marked off. Any portion of space that has been marked off. And one thing about God, God marks his territory. I can remember years ago when an apostle preached a sermon called The Mark of Ministry. Some of us have been marked for the sake of ministry, for the sake of serving, for the sake of doing his will. Mark for ministry. Had to experience painful situations. Why? Because you've been marked for ministry. Sometimes your heart had to experience hurts and pains and brokenness. Why? It was being marked for ministry. God was marking off a place, letting you know that I am nigh, I am near, I am close to those that are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I'm close to you. Everything that God does is purposeful. So he says, neither give place to the devil. For most of us, it falls right in this 12 to 14 inches. Between the head, the brain, and the heart. Right in here. I've seen something that allowed me to give place to the devil. I heard something that has allowed me to give place to the devil. Dare I say, I've said something that has allowed me to give place to the devil. But Paul is saying, need to give place to the devil. If you're really going to be real, there are times that I gave place to the devil. And it became so difficult to get him out that place. It's like he got a foothold and he dug his heels in. And no matter what I tried, I couldn't get the devil out this place. I denounced him. I cast him down. I rebuked him. I even said, Satan or devil, whatever spirit this is, the Lord God rebukes you. And it still looked like he had a foothold in this place. And the truth be told, it felt like I was losing ground. Like his space kept getting larger. And instead of the enemy being backed up in the corner, I found myself many days the one that was backed into a corner. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I gave the enemy place. Definition number two for places, talking about in the Greek, it says the space lying between two places. This space lying between your brain and your heart. What are we talking about? Most of us, you'll consider that be the neck. The neck is supposed to support the head. So my ability to support or my inability to support, I've given the enemy's place. I disappoint the will of God. I disappoint the vision of God. I disappoint the word of God. I disappoint the set authority of God. And I gave the enemy place. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me. I remember experiencing that when I was upset with my leader one time. So quick to say something. Oh, so quick to say something. And in me being quick to say something, I was quick to give the enemy place to occupy. And you find yourself questioning everything that has been said, everything that is being done. And in you, in your mind, you figure, or you just believe you got a better way, or your way is better, or they shouldn't do it like this, or how they doing this. You're going to always find something. Wow, that's an indicating factor that you have given the enemy place. In your inability to support, and it's not that you can't support, you just won't. Oh, I know I'm on something. The body. When we talk about the body of Christ as a whole, I can't speak to every church, but I can speak to this one. You can get mad, but I'm so glad God given you a new heart. You're going to eat this word today. Isn't it funny how everybody want to be supported, but when it comes time to support, I can't. It's not always about your crumbled up dollar. Your presence, you need to be present. COP, piss poor. Oh, you don't like that? Can I get a dun, dun, dun or something? Yeah, we're not riding like that today, but the slow music. We're not riding like that today. Can I get a dun, dun, dun to help me out? Because ain't nobody helping me too good over here. Because we talking about the ability to support. Now, I need to know, can y'all support me right here? Because it look like I'm out here by myself, but it's okay. It's okay. Because folk, when they want to be supported, they got a lot to say, but when it comes time for them to support, or they quiet as a church mouse. You ain't got nothing to say then. And when you asked about what was your presence, oh, then you want to fold your arm and want to get missing. But the devil is a lie. You are like, nobody can't say nothing to you. The devil is, I'm so glad that God given you a new heart so you can eat this rebuke. Because you're giving place to the devil. Me on down. Now, I got some, not for me, I think I got legitimate reasons not to be at some stuff. I said, they be messing with my Sabbath day. Coming out on Saturday, man. My Sabbath unto the Lord. I'm being honest. Was it last weekend or 2 weekends ago? Something happened, man. Church function. I came out. Fellowship. On my Sabbath. I went against my rest day. I went against my rest day. But you know what? God was in the midst of us. He was in the midst of us. For us to come together and dwell with each other in unity. Yeah. We had a good time. Fellowship gives you the ability to know those that you labor among. See, some of y'all, you're not doing no work. Some of you, you're not doing any work. And you look at those of us who got a title. No, take the title from in front of our name. Guess what? We ordinary people just like you. The difference is we have submitted ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Whereas you are still unsubmitted. Because there is something that the Bible talks about called the Great Commission. Where all of us are supposed to be working. Where you see lost souls, all of us are supposed to be working. You don't need no license, no piece of paper, no ordination. No, all of us are supposed to be working. I don't know what to say. Pray and ask God to give you what to say. Pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to reach somebody. Some of you can start with your family. You know how crazy they are anyhow. You keep trying to divorce that crazy dysfunction. That crazy dysfunction ain't going nowhere. You should bring that crazy dysfunction right to the Lord. Because look how God helping you with all your dysfunction. Oh, see, he's a good God. I bless his name how he's helping me with my dysfunction. He said, neither give place to the devil. Mike, take me to my pre-scriptures. I don't know. We're going to go over to Romans chapter number 8. I know y'all like that book. In particular, y'all like verse number 28. And we know. No matter what you're going through, you find. Then you get like, I'm going to be like David, encourage myself. And we know. Know this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Your mind is the enemy of God. And whatever your mind is minding, it is going to tell off on you. Because if your mind is about corner things, like the scripture said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If your mind is after corner things, then that is what's going to be seen in your life. You know what I find funny? When we get up here and say words like this, you look off. Folk get so offended about truth. Because the scripture said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Your mind will tell off on where you are. Your mind will tell off on how you're thinking, perceiving things. Your mind will tell off on how you're operating. And if folk got in there, be like, they always trying to judge. They're nobody judging you. It's what we pick up on you. Some stuff you can't hide. You could try all day long. You can't hide. He says what? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded, do you understand carnal and flesh are the same word? So the definition for flesh is this right here. Number one, it says the sensuous nature of man or the animal nature. The sensuous nature. Naturally doing things through your senses. Right? In our human anatomy, it is natural for us to operate through the five senses. This is how we explore the world around us, through our natural five senses. But when you allow this to govern you, especially not from a spiritual standpoint, it becomes beast-like. Think about the sense of smell. Every predator sniffs out his prey. Every prey try to sense the whereabouts of its predator. My sense of smell is what's going to lead me. It's going to either lead me to be ate. It's going to lead me to be safe. Most of us are operating in our sensual nature. For most of you, it's not necessarily your sense of smell. But then again, some of you, you do operate by the sense of smell. You're a predator on the hunt, prowling. I can remember when I was acting like a lion. Oh, yeah, I've always been attracted to the lion. Even as a sinner. I'm a lion. Male lions ain't going to do that much. They're not. They're opportunists. They're going to wait. They're going to wait for something sick. They're going to wait for something weak. They're going to wait for something lame to come their way. I waited for a sick individual, sick of their self-esteem, to come. You got to look a certain way, though. Because y'all know it's a such thing as a pretty chick with low self-esteem. You got to look a certain way, though. Sick in her self-esteem. She was lame in her self-esteem. She was weak in her self-esteem. And guess what? I was crouching behind the bushes ready to pounce. Just, got you. Got you. You didn't even understand what was behind the bush. See, the smart lion understands every animal got to go get some water. Let me post up by the water hole. Post up by the water hole. In other words, I understand that you're thirsty. Ah, there are some predators understand that you're thirsty. Yeah. You need your thirst to be quenched. You're looking for somebody to tell you that you smell good. You're looking for somebody to compliment your outfit. You're looking for somebody to recognize you put in some new earrings. You're looking for somebody to recognize your new little outfit. Guess what? There is a predator that's waiting just to do that. When that animal gets hold of you, will you be able to get loose though? Because you got to understand a lion has weaponry that is built for the kill. 6-inch canines. About 3-inch claws. Good for gripping and holding. I'm trying to tell you something. The Bible says that beware the devil, who is your adversary, walking around like a lion. And the truth be told, that lion has got a hold to some of y'all. You've been trying to get out of his grips, but guess what? That devil got his claws dug in you. Oh, and you can't get loose. And the truth be told, if you happen to get loose, baby, you're going to get loose with a serious injury. And even if you try to start limping away, you've left a trail of blood that the enemy can pick up your scent right just like, oh, y'all not going to talk to me. Pick your scent up just like that. And the enemy is back on your trails. And you thought you got away. And before you know it, you heard some low grumbling growls in the distance. Guess what? That devil is real close to you, ready to sink his teeth in you all over again. Because they don't understand, you wounded. I got to move in for the kill. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, spiritually minded. Mind talks about the thoughts and the purposes. And when you talk about this carnal, we said it's the same word or the same definition for flesh. Flesh, definition number two, it also talks about the earthly nature of man, separate and apart from the divine influence of God, which is prone to sin and be in opposition towards God. When I'm carnally minded, when I'm operating in my flesh, I am in direct opposition towards God. We told you the only enemy that God has is you being a friend of the world, or it is your carnal mindset that is an enemy of God. The earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. I won't sit myself under no godly wisdom. I won't seek out godly counsel. Because if I do that, then folk going to be in my business. I don't want nobody in my business. Well, you go ahead and keep bumping your head. You go ahead and keep making them same mistakes. You go ahead and keep hooking up with the same dumb knucklehead. The one that you go right on here. Because then the next thing that follows is, I'm just trying to figure out what's wrong with me. And then some dummy in the church not lied to, baby, ain't nothing. No, something is wrong with you. Somebody need to tell, there's a whole lot wrong with you. Something wrong with you. If you keep going back to the saint, something is wrong with you. Everybody in here know the definition for a lunatic or a lunacy? Insanity, that right there, that's what I'm talking about. Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. How you think something different is about to happen when you keep going to the same dude? Or the same type of dude? He just looked different. But they act the same. They talk the same. They dress the same. They treat you the same. And you're trying to figure out, well, what's wrong? Something is wrong with you. Now, ain't nobody about to lie to you in this church. Baby, ain't nothing. There's a whole lot wrong with you. Because you're unwilling to change. If you're unwilling to change, then how are you going to invite change into your life? Because it starts with the mindset. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Right? So, go ahead. You can go to the next verse. He said, what? I'm on number 7, right? It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, this fleshly mind, it is enmity against God. right? This is where enmity in the Greek talks about. It is hostile towards God. Meaning, if God is love, your crazy mindset is hostile towards love. I'm talking about the one that truly understands you. You hostile towards him. The one that wants to comfort you, you hostile towards him. Oh, the one that knows everything about you, you hostile towards him. But some of these crazy, ignorant folk, you want to be pleasant. You want to be understanding towards. You want to give them a chance after chance after chance. But as soon as you think God has failed you, I'm done with God. See, this is why I ain't going to church no more. See, this is why I ain't talking to God no more. No, you're being hostile towards God. Not only that, it talks about what? Opposition. You oppose God. Do you understand? It is your mind. And when we talk about being renewed in the spirit of your mind, most of the opposition comes directly from your thoughts, the unspoken things. Yeah, it is the unspoken thing that is opposing God. God says yes and your mind is saying no. God says go and your mind saying no. God says forgive and you say no because you don't know what they did to me, God. Oh, he said, I know what they did. I understand it, but I'm saying forgive, forgive, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, how can I, as your Father in heaven, forgive you? But your thought process, you can't understand why God is telling you to forgive when they wronged you. But he understands why. Hostile towards God. I'm not forgiving them. I'm not. I don't care what nobody say. And see, some of us are that crazy. I don't care what God. I don't care what God say. See, you could be in such a place of indifference that your reverence and your honor for God has gone out the door. You could be so jacked up, so broken, so messed up, till you don't even give a crap about what God said. That's a dangerous place to be in. To some of us, it's no longer a thought. That thing has got down in your heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there are days where you're not even trying to say it, but it just comes out of you. Ooh, do you know somebody? Can you relate? It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is not subject. So it's talking about this carnal mind, this fleshly mind. It is incapable of being subject to God. When we talk about subject, it's talking about to submit to one's control. That's good. All right, all right. Oh, to all my folk who struggle with fear. To all my folk who struggle with trust. It speaks to a control issue. I got to be in control, God. If it's not my way, God, I'm unwilling, God, to bend, God, to flex and move and ship with other people, God. It has to be my way, God, because I know how I like it, God, and I know how I expect it to be done, and I know what I want to be done. But you know, God has this uncanny ability to come in and just mess up all your plans and just do it the total opposite how you wanted or expected it to go. It is saying your mind is not subject to God. Now, isn't that funny? For most of us, he got your body. Your problem's not coming to church. You come to church. Your problem is not even going to your private closet. You will go in the closet and pray for some of y'all that pray in the closet. He got your body. You'll lift your hands. You'll clap your hands. And for most of you, you'll even give God a dance. So it's not the issue with your body. It's your mind. The mind is the last thing that we want to give God. Oh, God, you can have everything, but let me keep my mind, God. Mm-hmm. Don't let me have to talk about what I'm thinking about, God. And if my mind and my heart are used interchangeably in the word, God, don't let me have to discuss how I truly feel about certain people, God. Ah. And see, one thing about God, no, you got to bring it all to the forefront. You got to bring it all and lay it on the altar. And some days you got to go to people and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and ask for forgiveness from the onset, because you know what? I can't stand you. But it should be all right for us for me to be able to come and confess my issue. And then we need to pray for one another so we both can be healed. See, time has been messing with my calendar. Oh, but for those of us on the leadership staff, God has been calling us back to a powwow. because there are unresolved issues that must be dealt with. And it's when we had the powwows, when we laid it out on the table about how I felt and what I thought, that's when we came and repented and we came and apologized and we got real with one another. That's when the glory of God came and dwelt among us. That's when his presence came and swept in the room. That's when folks stopped being healed. That's when devils stopped being delivered. We saw demonic forces acting up doing praise and worship. Before the word ever came, baby, demons started acting up while we were singing. We masquerade around here like we okay with folk. Run around hugging folk. I love it, you. Stop lying. Now, the truth of the matter, you may actually love them. But let's talk about the issue that you have with them. And that's the crazy part. We are trying to love folk over issues. When did it become popular to just to keep sweeping issues under the carpet? What have you got out of sweeping issues on the carpet? I tell you what you got. You ain't got nothing but a bunch of false peace. That's all you got. False peace. And you find yourself walking on eggshells all the time. You find yourself can't get no rest. Because guess what? You're trying to appease somebody that you haven't got it right with. Ooh, we talking about your mind. How your mind is an enemy of God. Your mind or your heart is an enemy of God. It's not subject. One of the simplest definitions for the word subject is simply obey. Why is it so hard for your mind to obey? The mind, the heart used interchangeably is here in these spaces that my desires are. That my passions are, my appetites are, all things that I'm hungry for, they lie here. Things that I thirst for, they lie here. Things that I crave, they lie here. My dreams, goals, and aspirations, they lie here. Dare I say, my fears, my failures, my disappointments, my hurts, my pains, they all lie here. Which makes it become difficult for my mind to obey God. Oh, we give the illusion that we're obedient. It's an illusion. Simply put, it's an illusion. Because it says this carnal mind, it cannot come subject to the law of God. Notice how we play games? I'm good. Folk be senseless that they be like, hey, you all right with me? I'm good. It ain't even that I got an issue with people like that. Some days I have an issue with myself. Some days my mind tries to lie to me like I'm okay with me. Lincoln, stop lying. You're not okay with you. You're not. Now, the truth be told, you're not where you saw yourself being. Then, it's not just that, because I don't have a problem being honest with myself. But there is a difference between my honesty and God's honesty. See, God will come and just crush all that. He said it to me like this here. He said, you know what? The absence of discipline in your life is causing you not to have what I said. And see, it just messes me up. Like, God, why you had to say that? Because it's the truth. You give yourself too much credit. You master not looking at your periphery anymore. Okay. You've mastered that. I got that periphery on lock. I got that. You've mastered smirking while you're in an argument with folks, especially when you're winning. Because we keep points. We keep score. When you're winning and you see they can't hardly get their thoughts together, you be like. You've mastered smirking. You understand? I've been there. What I have not mastered, it's me, that truth that God speaks. And see, that truth that God speaks, oh, it's offensive some days. I want to give myself credit for the fact that I mastered my peripheral. I want to give myself credit. He said, yeah, you got the peripheral, but you didn't stop the whole turning of the head. Okay, and if you stop the turning of the head, then what about that vain imagination? Jesus. You want to give yourself credit for what? And see, isn't it just like that? Well, I'm not where I used to be. Neither are where he said you're supposed to be. You want somebody to give you credit because you feel like, well, I'm not where I used. So what? You see how crazy that sounds? You want somebody to pat you all on your back. You go ahead and do it, girl. That's it, my dude. You doing that thing. And you're not where he said you're supposed to be. And you know what's crazy? As if the thing that God is asking you is so difficult. Mind you, God didn't ask you to do anything that his son did not do. Yes, he was the Theanthropos, fully God and fully man, but he operated as man in the earth realm. He took on your sin and my sin. He became our sin, although he never committed sin. And you want credit because you said, well, at least I said I'm a change my mind. Because at one point I went to him and I was going to change my mind. You want credit because you're saying, well, I'm going to be open. Because at one point you was like, I'm not opening up to that no more. No more. That's over. That's over. That's over. The devil is a lie. It cannot be subject to God. Go, give me the last verse. Give me the last verse. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If your mind, your carnal mind is an enemy towards God, he's saying, okay, if you're in your flesh, you cannot please God. And most of us think God is pleased because you're not where you used to be. Well, I decided to take two steps closer to God. And you think God is pleased. God is not pleased until you do it how he said to do it. Exactly how he said to do it. That's when God is going to be pleased. But he's saying, in your flesh, you can't please me. And most of us, in our flesh, God, just be pleased with me. See, that's me. Oh, that's a prayer that prayer be falling out my mouth. God, please be pleased with me. Sometimes you ought to say, God, show me me. In other words, God, show me myself. Show me what I look like to you, God. When I say something that stupid, God, just be pleased. When I know I haven't did it right, but God, just be pleased. You want God to be pleased with your effort. Get out of here. Might run. It says, okay, so I just want you to see something, because the mind and the heart are used interchangeably. Remember this right here. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Go to the next. He says what? 22. You got 22? Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Oh, this is in my heart or my mind. And it opposes God, because these are the things that defile me. These are the things that cause me to operate in a carnal mind. And it's not something that came from on the outside. It's in you. It's in you. Right? The heart is what controls the inside life. And go, Mike, to my last scripture. This may be my preacher scripture. I don't know. Psalm chapter 57. Verse number 7, it says, but my heart is fixed And I understand fix is talking about it's established. But I want to go a different route. My heart is speaks, God. Yeah, I want to talk to somebody who had a broken heart. I'm talking about somebody who's had to deal with some real pain in your heart, some real disappointment, some real brokenness, some real rejection, some real abandonment, some real being overlooked, some real being forgotten about, some real being surpassed. Oh, I want you to understand this is why the old folks say he's a heart fixer. Oh, but I thank God he has the ability, he has the authority, he has the power to fix this heart. I don't care how many pieces it's been broken into. My God has the power to fix this heart. It says my heart is fixed. It's been broken. Because guess what? There's no pain like pain from the opposite sex. Ooh, there's no pain like pain from the opposite sex. Folk have taken their lives because of that pain. Folk have wanted to give up and die because of that pain. Some of us, you know, because you've been right there, you felt like you could not live another day. You didn't know how you was going to make it another day because all you put, all you invested, all you gave, it was just trampled upon. And you felt worthless. Not just worthless, but you felt helpless. How will I get up from this? How will I survive this? I know they're saying you're going to make it, but how? They keep telling me just keep trusting God. How? I am so low, I don't know how to trust God. They keep telling me to pray, but it feels like my prayers are not going higher than the ceiling. I'm trying to pray. I don't know what to pray. I can't even find the appropriate scripture to fit my situation. Do you understand? Did you hear me? I said my heart has been broken, but God wants to tell you your heart is fixed. David said, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixing. He said it twice because guess what? It's a witness to myself. Mm-hmm. My heart is fixed. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't seem like it. I may be still experiencing some of the pain, but I stand on the word of God that my heart is fixing. The truth be told, you know what, God? I'm going to go back to the first word. I'm going to give you a new heart like Saul. Hey, God. And see, for some of us, the fixing is to give you a brand new heart. Because our other heart is so raggedy, it's so jacked up, it's so beat down, it's been so dry. I'm talking about, it ain't no putting that back together. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just give you a new heart. And this is where you got an opportunity to participate. He said, my heart is fixed. You fix that broken thing. Because see, somebody think another woman going to do it. Somebody think another man going to do it. Oh, no, 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 no. My God. Since we're talking about the mind and the heart being used interchangeably, see, the old folks say he's a heart fixer. But they also say he's a mind. They tell me he's a heart fixer, but they also tell me he's a mind. When my thoughts are trying to get out of order, regulate, God, regulate, God, regulate, God. When my mind doesn't want to come subject, God, regulate, God, regulate, God. When my mind wants to oppose you, God, regulate, God, regulate, God. Oh, when my mind is hostile towards you, God, regulate, God, regulate, God. They tell me he's a heart fixer, but he's a mind regulator, God. Come on and regulate, God, these crazy thoughts, God. These lustful thoughts, God. These perverted thoughts, God. These bitter thoughts, God. These anxious thoughts, God. These nervous thoughts, God. These fearful thoughts, God. These rebellious thoughts. Regulate these minds, God. My heart. Whether it be my mind or whether it be my heart. My heart is fixed. But I'm going to say it again because I'm that confident in God. Whether it be my mind or whether it be my heart is fixed. And I will. See, this is where you get to participate. I know you probably can't hold no note. And you, most of us, you're bathroom singers. But
got past the singing part. But if you like me and you just believe God, honor how crazy your voice sound when you lift up a song unto him. I will sing. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. And then they'll say something like, you don't know like I know. Hallelujah. Wow. Then they'll holler a little bit. I say, you don't know like I know. Hallelujah. I will sing. I know most of y'all don't want to sing. But then he says, and I will give him praise. You ought to come on and give God praise. I'm going to get a little religious right here. Throw your head back. Put your hand on your hip. And let praise roll off your lips. You ought to come on and give God praise. Bless him like he's worthy of your praise. Come on, you ought to say hallelujah. The highest praise to the Most High God. I don't understand, but hallelujah. I don't always agree, but hallelujah. I don't always like it, but hallelujah. Hallelujah.